This is the City Surgery.
The City Surgery.
Expert advice for the cost of a phone call.
The City Surgery.
With Will Batchelor.
On City Talk 105.9.
City
Surgery. Information and advice given during the City Surgery is applicable to UK residents only. If you suffer from any symptoms related to subject matter in the show, please consult with your GP.
Yes, indeed. Good afternoon. Welcome to the City Surgery here on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. My name is Will Batchelor. I'm joining you for the fourth time this week between the hours of midday and 1 p.m. to bring you some free, independent and expert advice. How do we do that? Well, don't worry, it's not from me, which is the main thing. I am joined each day in the studio by an expert of a different flavour, and today's flavour is medical, and he comes in the form of Dr. Aaron Ghosh, who we like to call Dr. G. He's our resident doctor here at City Talk, and he's also based right here in Liverpool in his own practice in Rodney Street. Good afternoon, Dr. G.
Good afternoon, Will.
Have you been hounded by autograph hunters since the success of your Trini and Susanna escapades?
They don't leave me alone. I just have to say, the paparazzi are waiting outside. Absolutely, oh yes.
Now, they're all over in Italy taking pictures of Wayne and Colleen. Are you still sidling up to men on the street and asking them about the size of their tackle?
Only on Saturday nights, it's absolutely fine.
Excellent, excellent. I thought I saw you the other day. Now, Dr. G, as usual, we're going to take questions on anything today, aren't we? So if
absolutely
anyone is
right
out there with an ailment, it could be anything from back pain to foot problems anything at all, the whole gamut of human illnesses, of which there are many, unfortunately. If something's troubling you and maybe you're stuck and you can't haven't been to see your own doctor yet, or you want to get a second opinion, phone up Dr. G, 0151 708 1059. We'll stick you on air and you can have a conversation with him. And don't be shy, because he'll talk about anything, and I sometimes even put in my two pennies worth as well, although I'm not a medically trained doctor, you'll be surprised to know. You can text your question to 61025, that's 61025. Please start it with the word talk, followed by a space, otherwise it'll go to Scotland and it'll confuse them. And you can email it as well, surgery@citytalk.fm. That's the email. Text or emails, I'll read them out, and Dr. G will answer them. We'll take questions on anything, but in particular, I thought we might look at seasonal illnesses, by which I mean, I think this week, today's a bit gloomier, but this week and the weekend was absolutely scorching.
Oh, fantastic.
So I thought, there must be a load of illnesses that come with that. Is there, what kind of things do you see happening more in the summer?
You get a lot of, as you said, seasonal illness. And actually, the summer is a quieter time because a lot of the bugs have gone away, and it's good. Chest complaints aren't as bad. So actually, normally, the summer for health workers is a nicer time, and it's a time to actually get a bit more relief. But as a GP, we get hounded with a whole other host of problems. And the things we need to be aware of are things like hay fever. That comes up this time of year because obviously all the plants are coming out. And so you get different peaks in hay fever. So you may get the grass when the grass all pollen comes out, when all the trees' pollen comes out, when particular plants start flowering. So those things are on the rapeseed and all that sort of stuff that comes out. Also, a lot of people start going abroad at this time of year. So we have all the travel vaccines that need to be aware of, and people need to get their jabs done. So yellow fever, typhoid, hepatitis, all these things need to be looked down to. People coming back from holiday often suffer with traveller's diarrhoea, often suffer with illnesses when they're abroad and they don't get them looked into. And there, again, we need to give a lot of education into those. So things like malaria is actually coming on the increase in this country, not because we're getting huge mosquitoes that come and do it, but because people catch the condition somewhere else, come back, and then don't realise that the symptoms, because malaria is actually a very good mask. It presents like a common cough or a cold, and you just think, oh, I've just picked up a bit of a bug, maybe it's the air conditioning. You don't realise, actually, you've got the start of something as serious as malaria.
Absolutely, and I guess as well, I mean, I went to a barbecue at the weekend, which thankfully passed without incident, but who could forget that government advert from a couple of years ago when they're barbecuing food and playing When Will I See You Again?
Yeah.
Because I'm sure there must have been some dicky tummies going round after Sunday with, you know, raw chicken and half-cooked sausages and the rest of it.
And in the most cases, you know, apart from having that dicky tummy and it passing through the system, it's okay. But in very bad cases, you can actually pick up salmonella, E. coli, some very, very nasty bugs that can actually still put people in hospital, leave you severely dehydrated. So it's very, very careful that you're preparing your meat and your fish or your raw eggs, all these sort of things that people start doing in the summer, especially when the weather becomes hot. But again, you know, a lot more accidents happen in the summer as well. You've got to remember people playing with barbecues, burning. They're suddenly doing things that they wouldn't do. So you've got to be much more careful. Also, sexual health is a lot bigger. Must be something to do with the heat as well. So,
oh, is that right? Are people at it more in the summer?
Well, you've got to remember that people go away on these holidays during the summer. So especially a younger population in the 20s or that age, probably be a bit more risky in their behaviour because their guard's down, maybe drinking a bit more on a regular basis, more likely, therefore, to involve themselves in unprotected sexual activity. So we see a lot more unwanted pregnancies. We see a lot more, unfortunately, sexually transmitted diseases and that sort of screening. So this is the time of year, maybe towards the end of the summer, when people come back. So a September time as well. It was also very busy for that. So, you know, there's a lot of consequences to think about when you think about the good old British summer holiday.
Excellent. And, of course, sunburning as well, I guess, is one of the bigger ones.
Absolutely, of course. I mean, we're not designed, the majority of white Caucasian people in this country, to go out and sit yourself for 2 weeks in the burning heat. And people, as much as we like to think they do know it, and everyone should know about the you know, the slapping on the sun cream, wearing a hat and all that, they don't, and they forget. And again, the guard's down, they think, oh, I've got to make the most of it. But long term, we are now seeing an increase in skin cancer. And, you know, recently I had a patient who died at the age of 34 from skin cancer, especially in Liverpool, because people will top their tans up on sunbeds before they go out then to burn themselves, to then come back and wonder why their skin's prematurely aging.
Absolutely. So, if any of those are ringing a bell with you, if you're suffering because of the sun and the summer, or if you've stepped on a rake while wearing a pair of flip-flops, if you've eaten a dodgy sausage, if you've gone to Ibiza and come back with something nasty, then give us a shout, 0151 708 1059. That is the landline. The text number is 61025. Start your message with the word talk, and the email is surgery@citytalk.fm. And even if it's not summer-related, chuck it at the doctor anyway, and he'll do his best to answer it. Paul in Anfield has given us a shout on 708 1059. Hello, Paul.
Hello.
Hiya, what's your question for Dr. G?
Well, it says my wife suffers from diabetes. She's diabetes too.
Right.
And for the past 2 years, she's been getting sent for, you know, naturally blood tests every 3 months.
Of course, yeah.
For checkups. Anyway, about 4 weeks ago, she went for an eye test, where she gets checked up every year.
Yeah.
Anyway, she got sent by the Royal Hospital because they said that one of the X-rays were cloudy, or it could be the machine, or it could be her eyes.
Yeah.
Anyway, we went there. That got sorted out. It was the machine. So they give her a blood test just for whatever. Anyway, they got in touch with my GP and said that's it. Her kidneys are failing, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And we went down this morning and found out that she's lost just on 70% of the kidneys because of it's down to diabetes, smoking hands. But I'm just wondering, how's it took that long to get, you know, find out that her kidneys have been failing, you know, because she's been getting blood tests for the past 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult because, as you said, you get regularly monitored, and suddenly when you find out something's unfortunately stopped working, like the kidney or the eye, then you worry. Now, diabetes, just to explain to people out there, is a condition when the blood sugar levels aren't controlled and the insulin levels aren't controlled. And there's type 1, and you mentioned type 2. Type 1's when you can just control that with your diet, and type 2 is when you need medication. Unfortunately, diabetes affects loads of organs. Everyone knows about the feet, everyone knows about the eyes, everyone knows about blood sugar, but what they don't also realise is that kidneys, the whole filter for your body, can also be destroyed, and we need to keep regular blood tests to check them up. The problem is, the problem that happens, Paul, is that the kidneys actually work really well, and they get to a point where they suddenly collapse. And yes, you're right, in a lot of people you can see a very slow, gradual deterioration, and you think, hold on, we'll jump on it quickly there. But because you've got two kidneys, some people can actually lose a kidney and their blood test be absolutely normal. So one's actually completely gone, and a blood test will never show that, because as far as the body's concerned, the filtering has been absolutely fine. So all we can check is on that filtering mechanism to see if that works. Unfortunately, with diabetes, we know that renal problems, kidney problems happen very quickly. So what's happened in your wife's case, I'm afraid, is that her kidneys have been doing everything as they should, and her blood tests have therefore been pretty okay. They may have shown some deterioration, but not enough to indicate that she's lost 70%. Then suddenly you realise, hold on, other complications are coming on. Why are her feet bad? Why are her eyes bad? Which is what you said, that was the initial journey. And then people go, well, hold on, that must mean there's something else going on. And without a scan, you can never tell. So it is difficult because, you obviously, you know, you would think, well, hold on, she's been going on the regular screen, she's been having everything done, why hasn't this been picked up? And that's just because her kidneys have been holding out and they've just suddenly now started, you know, just collapsed, really, because they've got to the point where they can't cope anymore, and the blood tests don't always show that.
OK, that's Paul in Anfield. Thank you for that question, Paul. That came in on 0151 708 1059. If you've got a question for Dr. G, whether it is related to the summer and all the various pitfalls and problems that come with the sunshine, then you can ask him that question, or indeed, like Paul in Anfield, if it's a more general health question, you can also ask that. The number is 0151 708 1059. The text number is 61025. Please start your message with the word talk, followed by a space, and the email is surgery@citytalk.fm. Now, this one has come in on the text, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. It says, I'm 10 weeks pregnant with bad hay fever. Is there anything I can take?
Yeah, you see that quite a lot, don't you? People worry about they can take the medication for hay fever and lots of other things. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with her taking loratadine. I'm just going to quickly look that up because I would certainly produce it. But there are very, very lots of safe medications.
What's it called? Loratadine?
Loratadine.
Didn't she play Sharon in EastEnders? That's Letitia Dean.
The best person to ask is actually just to go down to your pharmacist and to see that you go it. There's no reason why you can't do your nasal sprays because they're not going to affect the baby. So, you know, the Flixonase, I shouldn't really give brands out, but Flixonase is a good one. So if it's the nasal problems, it depends if you're using a lot of, people get a lot of watery eyes. Again, there's no reason why you can't use the sodium chromolate eye drops. Again, absolutely safe. The thing is, most people think that pills are the only answer, but you don't have to use pills. Even if I tell pregnant women that they can take them, sometimes they just don't like the idea of it. So the topical things, like the sprays, like the eye drops, you can still use them. That's absolutely safe. And what I'll do is I'll just quickly look up, see if she can use the loratadine. I'm sure she can, and I know a pharmacist can.
While you're looking at that, I know that we've covered this in the past. I'm fairly sure I'm right in saying, and you will interrupt me if I'm wrong, that pharmacists, although obviously they're not fully trained doctors, they do know about the drugs they're giving out. So, you know, you can ask the person behind the counter in Boots or whichever chemist you want to go to, and they will know whether you can take it as a pregnant lady. But I guess there's also preventative measures that this lady could take as well.
Absolutely. Aaron? I mean, just to say, I've looked it up there, and it's also absolutely fine for her to use, so that's going to be fine. But as I said, go down to the chemist, make sure you know you've had a good chat with them. They can go through all the antihistamines that they have. There's no evidence here. It says no evidence of tetragenicity or embryology in animal studies, so it's absolutely fine. The manufacturers say it's okay as well, so often if they've said it's okay, they said that's all right. Just saying what the best one they say to use is cetirizine, actually, but I would stick with loratadine. I think that's a fine non-drowsy one to do. But I would think if she's really worried about it, use the topical ones and she'd be absolutely safe with it.
OK, Letitia Dean, or use a topical one. Here we go. Not just a fine actress, but she also cures hay fever by the sounds of it. So that's good news. Any other questions, get them in now. 0151 708 1059. That's the landline if you want to talk to Dr. G here on the City Surgery on City Talk 105.9. Or you can text him to 61025 like the pregnant lady did. Or you can email surgery@citytalk.fm.
Formby Cycle Sefton Triathlon is the biggest community triathlon in the UK. From 9 till 4, Saturday, June 28th on Crosby Beach, join over 1,000 competitors running, swimming and cycling their way to the finish line. With medals presented by Kenny Dalglish. Do it for charity. Do it for fun. Do it because you can. For information and registration forms, visit seftontriathlon.co.uk today. Cash for Kids invites you to Formby Cycle Sefton Triathlon in association with St Mary's College Crosby and City Talk 105.9.
If If you're a homeowner or rent from a private landlord and receive certain benefits, here's some heartwarming news from Warmer Heating.
Under the government's Warm Front scheme, you could claim £2,700 towards a new gas or electric heating system from Warmer Heating.
Even if you're not on benefits and you're 60 or over, you may still be entitled to a £300 rebate towards the repair or replacement of your current heating system.
Find out more. Call Warmer Heating free on 0800 377 7755 or visit warmerheating.co.uk.
Look who's talking on 105.9.
Hi, my name's Phil Easton. I present Breakfast with the lovely Kim Hughes every weekday morning from 6 through till 9 here on City Talk 105.9. And amongst the delights you can listen to every morning, of course, our celebrity interviews, our major issues, our big issue of the day, and the chance to win cash on your having a laugh.
Who's your hero and why?
Don't really do heroes, but anybody who's particularly good in their chosen field, be it a footballer, a motor racing driver, or a singer, if they're very, very good, then I'm impressed.
Who do you hate and why?
Well, I really kind of go back to the question I asked before. I don't really hate anybody, but I get annoyed by petty officialdom and career politicians.
If you were mayor of Merseyside, what three things would you change?
I would undo the damage that I personally think has been done to the local economy by the Big Dig. I'd fill in the canal at the pierhead and return the area to a public open space and make all buskers in the city audition before being allowed to play in public on the street.
This is City Talk. Call the City Surgery now.
0151 708 1059. Text TALK, then a space, then your message to 61025. Or email surgery@citytalk.fm.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back to the City Surgery here on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. My name is Will Batchelor, and I am joined in the studio today by our resident doctor, who is named Dr. Aaron Ghosh. He's fought his way through the crowds of poorly radio disc jockeys attacking him, asking for pills and prescriptions for this and that, and he's made it through to the studio to dispense his wisdom to you, the listener. So if you want to tap into his knowledge, then give us a shout, 0151 708 1059. That is the landline if you want to have a conversation on air. The text number is 61025. Start your message, please, with the word talk, followed by a space. And the email, excuse me, is surgery@citytalk.fm. That's S-U-R-G-E-R-Y, surgery@citytalk.fm. I will read it out and we shall get it answered. We're looking today in part at seasonal problems, so things that happen to people more in the summer than in the other seasons. For example, we've mentioned earlier already the problems that people pick up when they go away on holiday, be it malaria or something sexually transmitted from that otherwise dreamboat they met while on holiday in Magaluf. And, of course, all the home-based problems as well, whether it be sunburn or dodgy food, heat stroke, dodgy food on barbecues, anything like that, get it in, or indeed any other ailment, because we are focusing on the summer problems, but not to the exclusion of other problems as well. And also, Dr. G, we haven't even discussed what's in the news, medically speaking, because I think you were saying before, it's been a busy week, hasn't it, for medical news?
It's been a very busy week. There's been lots of new treatments and drugs and potions that have come out, and obviously the one that links into this is this new E. coli patch that people are reading about traveller's diarrhoea. Now, just to say, it's very, very common when you go away, if you go to India or China or all these sort of places, to get maybe a bit of deli belly, a bit of diarrhoea that can occur. Now, 40% of the cases are caused by something called E. coli, which is a bug. And this patch is designed, apparently, to prevent that. And according to this article here, it says it prevents 75%. Now, it just seems like a bit of a gimmick to me, because if only 40%, so that means 60% aren't caused by E. coli at all, is going to be prevented by this patch. And of that, it only works on 75% of the time. Mm. The chances of you buying this patch and going out there and working are actually against you, aren't they? The odds are against you. It doesn't work for the vast majority. that caused the actual bug itself.
So what are you saying you should do? Just go over and take the usual precautions and hope for the best?
That's exactly right. At the end of the day, having a patch does not go out there and mean you can eat all the shellfish that you want, all the salads and things like that, the water. You've just got to be very sensible. You've got to make sure that if you're going out and you're drinking water, it's bottled water that you've bought from a, you know, a reputable place that's sealed correctly. You don't have the salads and the things like that could be washed in that sort of water. You don't have ice in your drinks because, again, it's not made out of the right sort of water. You brush your teeth with bottled water. All these little things make a huge difference. Sometimes, though, in the most cases, you get a little bit of diarrhea and then it passes through. You become quite immune to the local bugs and you can just carry on with it and it shouldn't be a big problem. The problem comes when you go out there, it goes on for a week or two and you come in very dehydrated. If you do get diarrhea, make sure you take something like dialolite or some of the fluid replacement because you're offering a lot of hot-tip wine, so you're losing a lot of fluid. You've got to be very, very careful with it. There is something called Traveller's Doctor, which, if you want to have a look, explains all these things really, really well. Just get out the website. It's www.traveldoctor.co.uk. It's a really good website for anyone who's going abroad. The government have also got health websites that I've linked onto our email page here, our webpage at the City Surgery. And again, that will give you all the information you need to know about jabs and things like that when you go abroad.
Absolutely. If you want to check out Dr. G's web page, it's linked to our page at www.citytalk.fm. That is the web page for this station, www.citytalk.fm. It's got Dr. G's page on and lots of other stuff as well. So have a look at it because it's full of fun.
Why? Do you know why you shouldn't eat shellfish when you go abroad?
Is it a joke?
No,
No, why shouldn't you eat shellfish when you go abroad?
Because it can cause people hepatitis A, and the reason why is... it's not at all. These prawns and things like that, they're bottom feeders. They live at the bottom of the ocean, they feed on it. And if you've gone to a country where they're suing out there, isn't as maybe hygienic as ours, and it's not treated, it's poured straight out to the sea, you can imagine what these creatures are eating then, obviously, and therefore you're then going and eating it. If it's not been cooked correctly, or if it's a little bit raw, then obviously that goes straight into your system. So that's why we say when you go abroad, don't eat the shellfish, don't have the lobster and the crab if you can, because it will often make...
Well done, Parky. Now, let's go to the text feed. 61025, that is a text number. If you want to send a question to Dr. G, I'll read it out and hopefully he will answer it. Talk is the word you need to start the message with, otherwise it will go to a station in the Highlands of Scotland where they will be quite confused because they don't have a doctor there. Now, this one...
They've probably got one by now.
Well, you'd hope
so, wouldn't
you?
We keep getting all these medical questions.
We need a doctor. We need a doctor, Davey. This one is a follow-up, by the way, to the question we had before the break from a lady who said she was 10 weeks pregnant with bad hay fever. Anything I can take. Dr. G said she should take Letitia Dean. And someone has said, does your pregnant listener know that Vaseline on your nostrils stops pollen from getting up your nose? Is that right?
I've heard that quite a common one. And actually, it's not that unheard of. And actually, yes, it will work. Because what the nose does is it normally has nasal hair that filters out all the pollen. Mm. But unfortunately, nowadays, it seems that the pollen is getting through there, and that's either due to maybe smoking, because you can kill off the hair there, or excessively, so, you know, it can goes up. Vaseline, therefore, just acts as a nice sticky barrier, so when you inhale pollen up through your nose, it therefore gets stuck onto the Vaseline. So, yes, it can work, but you've got to remember, you also inhale a lot orally. So not everyone just breathes through the nose. Lots of times you breathe through your mouth, so sometimes it can still get in. But yes, it's not a bad idea. It's
certainly
not
doing. You don't want to walk around with your nose covered in Vaseline.
If you've ever suffered really bad hay fever, it's very, very debilitating. They can be sneezing constantly, they feel ill, they get a frontal headache, their eyes are streaming, they can get a sore, itchy throat. It can be very, very bad, and if a bit of Vaseline stops all that, then why not? Certainly not going to do you any harm.
Okay, thank you to Dave for that piece of advice. Now, this one is from Jordan. And, it might be a he or it might be a she, actually, because it can be both. Jordan says, hello, mine's not really a seasonal problem, but I have an annoying cough. But at the end of the cough, it's like I choke and I get a strong feeling that I need to throw up and I have to run to the toilet. But I don't have any other problems. So that's from Jordan. Any idea what that could be?
Sounds a bit like reflux. Often when you get a cough, especially a chronic cough, it's been going on for a couple of months, then you worry about things like, have you put on a lot of weight recently? Because that may mean that you're getting a reflux condition. So reflux is where the acid in your stomach comes up and irritates the bottom of your esophagus, your windpipe, and therefore you cough. And that's why you get this sort of... it's a dry cough. It's not often very productive. So if that's happening... what's the chap's name, sorry?
It's Jordan.
Jordan. So
might
if that's
even be a girl.
Sorry, if that's happening, Jordan, then I would say try some simple measures like putting your bed up at an angle, maybe putting a book or two underneath the one end of your bed.
Oh, really?
At the head end, because that will just make the acid go down to the bottom of your stomach. Try something simple like Gaviscon, which you can buy now, and that often works. People often think with a cough it's got to be lung, and it doesn't always necessarily be lung. Sometimes it's stomach as well. If you're finding that you need to wrench afterwards, that also makes me think that maybe it's something to do with the stomach. It's something to do with an irritation that's going on. And it might be worth nipping down to your doctor and getting a test for something called H. pylori, which they can do on a breath test. And that's a bug that irritates the stomach. And actually, once it over-colonises, can cause this symptom of coughing.
OK, so it could be reflux or it could be H. pylori.
That's right. It's worth going down and just getting checked out.
And as we always say, what Dr. G does on this show is he offers a first down-the-line diagnosis, if you like, of what it might be. But anything more than a very minor problem, you should go and see your own GP. Anyway, as that nice man says at the beginning of the show.
Absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely. This is from Dave, who's in Rockferry, and he says, Dear Doctor, I have a history of angina. I'm on a lot of medication... for blood pressure, Tabs, digoxin, etc.
Digoxin, is it?
Digoxin, yeah. I've recently been diagnosed as diabetes on metformin.
On metformin, yeah.
What can I do about my nails? They are split and they don't seem to grow. And on my hands, the nails seem to be non-existent. So that's Dave. So he's got a few problems anyway, and now he's finding that his fingernails or his toenails have got problems.
A lot of people think nails are a huge indicator of health, and whenever you're severely stressed out, you can get pitting of your nails. If you're anemic, you can get discoloration of your nails. If you have liver problems, you can get problems with your nails. Unfortunately, with diabetes, you can also get skin changes, okay? And I'm not going to go through all the Latin names of all the skin changes, but you can get these rashes and effects of your nails. So your diabetes, your medication, your heart tablets all can do that. And you've got to really start looking after them now. And it sounds silly, but, you know, most blokes, we're pretty poor with our nail care. We maybe even bite them and chew them and spit them off, and that's the way we look after them. You've got to start making sure you moisturise your hands to make sure they don't dry out, because with your condition...
You've been working in TV too long.
I'm not saying...
Moisturise.
You do if you've got medical conditions that dry out your limbs. And if he's got... angina, then that means maybe the peripheral blood supply to his hands, so that means the blood supply to the extremes, like your hands and feet, die down. Just think of nails as part of your skin, because that's all it is, really. It's a developed part of skin. So if your skin isn't getting all the blood supply, it doesn't grow as well. And your nails, obviously, are going to be like that, and they can become very brittle. They can snap off very easily, and it's not very nice to look at. Just underline that, diabetes also makes you prone to getting a lot of fungal infections. So if you look at the nails and they're very white, then I would say maybe you need to go down and get some treatment for some fungal infection, because often you can get those on your toes and as well as on your hands. So that's quite common. It's difficult to know how they'll grow back. Often it just means getting the condition under control. It's a long, long time, but the nails can grow back within 3 or 6 months. Sometimes they never do, I'm afraid. So it's worth, one, taking good care of them. Make sure you moisturise and massage them. Men, we don't really like going out and getting pedicures and manicures, but if you ever had one, the hand massage probably is the best bit of it. And that's important that, you know, you do start taking care of your hands and your feet.
So when you say moisturise, what would he use? E45?
E45, and if you're a good, thick moisturiser is a good one to use. And he does it daily, does it morning and night. He looks after his feet and his hands now. Because with diabetes, when we were talking to that lady before, you know, all your organs can be affected. Checked, especially if he's already started medication for it.
Okay, Dave in Rockferry, thank you for that. I hope that helps you out, and good luck with that. Now, if you've got a question for Dr. G, he's here until 1 o'clock, so we're about halfway through the show here on City Talk 105.9, and the number you need to call is 0151 708 1059.
there's different types of pollen, and therefore you're suddenly affected by it. So if you are, you can literally nip down to your... you can nip down to your pharmacist, you can get some good advice. Often now, these pharmacists actually have health packages they can give out, so they can give what we call hay fever packs, and it has a pack of tissues in there, some of the tablets, maybe some a nasal spray, maybe some eye drops, and it's got it all there with some good ways to avoid getting hay fever.
Absolutely. The other thing about pharmacists, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but when I was at university, I noticed a lot of the pharmacy students were good-looking. Did you ever notice that? All these good-looking girls that came over from Northern Ireland, I don't know what it was.
Right, okay.
Do they recruit them there?
Maybe that's one of the selection processes. You're not good-looking enough to be at the front of our shop. Sorry.
Otherwise, I wouldn't have been a pharmacist.
One of my good friends is a pharmacist, and she's just became pregnant, and she's gorgeous. So, yes, yeah, so maybe that is exactly what they do.
Excellent. If you're a good-looking pharmacist, send us a text. You don't have to have a question.
Send us a picture.
Just send us a picture. That's fine. A lot of them from Northern Ireland. Did you notice that as well?
Yeah, I think we recruit a lot of students. Even when I was at med school here in Liverpool, there's a lot of people that come over from Northern Ireland. So it's probably just far enough away to get away, but not too far to get home when you're feeling down.
And they have quite a stern manner about them as well. Like if someone... They tell you to
You're getting into trouble now, Will.
They say take three a day and no more, you'll take three a day and no more.
Yeah, well then Ireland and Liverpool have got a really strong history, haven't they? So, you know, it's not unusual for them to come over and us to go over there and study over there as well.
Absolutely, right. surgery@citytalk.fm is the email address if you're a good-looking Northern Ireland pharmacist, send us a picture. Or indeed, more to the point, if anyone out there has got a question related to more serious matters, i.e. your own health, if you're suffering from any ailment, send the question in. Dr. G will give you a bit of a down-the-line diagnosis. The email address, as I say, is surgery@citytalk.fm. The text number is 61025. Start your message, please, with the word talk or by a space. And the number, the landline number, is 0151 708 1059. Hey, before we take any more questions, Dr. G, what's all this about the GPs protesting? Are you getting snotty with the government again?
Basically, Gordon Brown has come out to say that he wants a private company now, a major, major health provider from the US, actually one of their biggest health insurance companies, to come over and buy UK practices. Mm. And set them up. So he's opened the door now, he's opened the floodgates really for private companies to just take over primary care in this country.
Well, what's in it for them?
Well, there's a huge amount of money to make in it for them. They can then franchise this out to pharmacy companies. Imagine if Boots owns a GP, they're obviously going to get all the prescriptions, all the drugs being done.
So you go to the GP, you'd still get it free because it's in the NHS, but then they'd say, our pharmacist and pay you £6.50 to them.
I mean, let's make up a company. Say you call yourself UK Medical. Go to a UK medical care centre and you would then be seen by a UK medical care doctor who would maybe not be working there all the time, maybe work shifts, however they want you to work, and then you would be churned out to a UK medical care pharmacy where you have to get the drug. For the NHS just to say, hey, we're going to offer a great free service here. There's an opportunity there for them to come in. And it's not going to help those people out. If there's less choice for patients, then again, it's going to help those people out there. And it's not as simple as what Gordon Brown wants to do. It's less hassle for the government because it's privatised out and they can blame somebody else. Mm. But taking the control away, something like your own health, isn't the best thing to do because they've got a different priority. Their priority has to be making money, whereas the NHS, the priority has to be.
testing? You get
well,
it on strike?
We've gone with our BMA to put in a petition, actually, and we've got already signatures started to open. So we're going to, put loads of protests. It just seems that the government want to really, really get on the back of doctors. I mean, they've been going on for years that we've been paying too much and that we're some sort of fat cats. And I think they've just been very clever that they've said that, sold that to the public. They've sold that idea that we're all really well-paid, overpaid, unworking sort of people. So then they can come in and make these huge radical changes. But our worry isn't about the money. Our worry isn't about what's going to happen to our salaries. Our worry is that the people that are going to affect the most, those who can't defend themselves, the elderly and the very young, they're the ones who really use the health service. They're the ones who would say are the biggest, you know, clients, as it were. They're the ones who don't benefit from this. So how do you put that in? How do you pass that through? But the people who vote, you and me, those who are, you know, more active, they're going to love that idea. Mm. And that isn't who you should aim the health service at. It should be aimed at the elderly. It should be aimed at those who are disabled. It should be aimed at those who really need it.
Fantastic. So there you go. He's not only a very knowledgeable doctor, he's also a very passionate doctor about what he does, which is why we love him here at City Talk 105.9. His name is Dr. G, and he is our resident doctor. And if you want to speak to him, 0151 708 1059. The text number is 61025, and the email is surgery@citytalk.fm. You've got 20 minutes left to get your question in.
LDP Business Week.
Join me, Bill Gleason, and the team from the Liverpool Daily Post as we talk about the big business news stories of the week. You'll have heard of the credit crunch, the volatile stock markets, and the new Liverpool One shopping development. But what do all these things mean to you? We'll be joined by experts in their fields to discuss these issues and the effects that they have on the people of Liverpool, Merseyside, the North West, and North Wales.
The LDP Business Week. Sunday morning from 11. On City Talk 105.9.
Thursdays are alive after 5 in Liverpool City Centre.
Wear boots, Clayton Square, and we're open tonight for late night shopping. Remember, every Thursday the stores are all open till late, so come and join us tonight.
Thursdays are alive after 5 with the Business Improvement District, creating a cleaner, safer, vibrant city centre, and City Talk 105.9.
A swift story. Mary's Jodie's nan. Mary lives in Speke, Jodie lives in Newcastle. Jodie loves football, Mary loves the internet. Today is Jodie's birthday. Yesterday, Mary bought a footy kit online. Today, thanks to Swift Dispatch and to her mum's horror, Jodie's wearing it to a party.
For next day deliveries, Swift Dispatch is affordable, reliable and secure. Call 0845 241 6666 now or visit swiftdispatch.com. Swift Dispatch, the award-winning courier service you can rely on.
Not you as well, mate. Congratulations on the new job, Andy.
Everybody's escaping to a better job. citytalkjobs.co.uk.
City Talk. Words of wisdom. Nothing is foolproof to a sufficiently talented fool. City Talk. 105.9.
Call the City Surgery now.
0151 708 1059. Text TALK, then a space, then your message to 61025. Or email surgery@citytalk.fm.
Give me the news, I got a bad case of loving you. No pills gonna cure my ill. I got a bad case of loving you.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back to the City Surgery here on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. My name is Will Batchelor. I join you every weekday between 12 and 1. And on those weekdays, I'm joined by an expert of a different flavour, starting off on a Monday with our gadget guru, Gary Miller, who gives advice on your computer and all things shiny to buy. On a Tuesday, we've got a vet in at the moment, and for the next few weeks, Annie Bramwell from the PDSA Centre in Everton, talking about your animal's health. On Wednesday, it's Think Legal with the team from Gregory Abrams Davidson, and they're answering all your legal queries. We had Red Ritchie in yesterday, as I like to call him. He's a bit of a rabble-rouser, but he's also a solicitor excelling in the field of criminal law, and he is answering your legal questions on a Wednesday between 12 and 1. On a Friday, it's Ian Howarth from Parker Kelly Financial Services, and on a Thursday, which is today, it is the man himself, Dr. G, that is Dr. Aaron Ghosh, who has just rushed in. You can probably hear him panting down the line, but don't worry,
I couldn't
Aaron,
hold it any longer.
Don't worry, I'm sorry. Because I had a couple of other things to say anyway before you even rushed back, so I wasn't even panicking. I wouldn't have been for a good 40 seconds.
Okay.
Because I must mention that if you like tennis, Paul Jacobs' show, The Drive Show, between 4 and 7 here on City Talk is coming live today from the tennis, the what's it called, the ICAP tradition, no, the tradition ICAP tennis tournament or something like that. It's at Calderstones
right,
anyway.
Calderstones tennis
and some good stuff. We had Goran Ivanisevic in the other day.
Oh, fantastic.
Nice fella. And also Ashley Harkleroad, who's a less famous female tennis player, but she's going to be on the front cover of Playboy in August. So that's nice too.
Okay, yeah.
No, she came in on Monday.
Oh, right, fantastic.
You missed it.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh, was it on Monday?
No, it was Tuesday. It was Tuesday.
I was meant to go to the tennis on Tuesday with Phil and Kim. I couldn't make it.
She was curing the sick?
Well, yes, I was actually in the Isle of Man, curing the Isle of Man.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that for your job, or were you doing something else media-wise?
No, it wasn't media-wise. It was actually about a new venture I'm doing about opening up some more holistic healthcare over in Liverpool.
You've got your finger in many pies, Dr. G, find out about all of them. By the way, in case anyone's wondering what that media reference was, last week, Dr. G was the star, I like to think, of The Great British Body, which was a show on ITV with Trini and Susanna about, average body size and all that stuff.
That's right.
You were their proper doctor. They did an exercise in which you had to rate yourself out of 10. You gave yourself a rather meagre 3 out of 10. I'm not making this up. Yeah. We've had a phone call from Jean in Toxteth, who's called us on 0151 708 1059, and she wanted to say that you should have scored yourself a lot higher.
It wasn't a confidence thing. A lot of people said, you must really hate yourself. It's not. I just don't think that on the average scale of how attractive men are, I was up there on that size. I'm not the tallest guy. I'm not the best built, and that's it. But it doesn't mean, don't get me wrong, it doesn't mean that I don't think I lack confidence. I know my girlfriend loves me to bits, but I think there's other things that make up attraction, and one of them is your personality, what you maybe do as a job, maybe, how you are with other people. Mm. Those all things. I know a lot of very good-looking people who I actually don't think are very attractive because their personality lets them down. So I was just saying on looks, maybe that's not where my attractiveness is. I think maybe my attractiveness is more on the personality side of things.
Okay, ugly Betty, you can stop talking now. I tell you what, Gene, if you think he's good, you should see me.
Oh, yeah.
One of these days. I agree with Gene, Aaron. I don't think you're a 3 out of 10 at all. You. Now, if you have a question for the 5, 6 out of 10 Dr. G, 0151 708 1059. That's the number you need to ring. He's here until 1, and after this week, he won't be back for 3 weeks because he has other commitments. So get your question in now, although hopefully we will find a replacement doctor during those times. 0151 708 1059. That's the landline, 61025. That is the text line. Start your message, please, with the word talk, followed by a space, and the email is surgery@citytalk.fm. However, someone who has phoned us is Jeff in Mould. Hiya, Jeff.
Hiya, Jeff.
Hiya.
Hiya, Jeff. It's Dr. G.
Go ahead, Jeff. What's your question for Dr. G?
Yeah, I've diabetes too.
Oh, all right.
And a number of other illnesses, chronic lung disease, asthma. And I've got these ulcer things in my back.
Right.
Some doctors have said it's cares from diabetes.
Yeah.
They call them peptic ulcers. Other doctors say it's a load of rubbish. Ulcers, I mean, your stomach, not in your back.
Yeah, I thought so, with peptic ulcer, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, why do you think you've got ulcers in your stomach?
Well, they're in my back, not my stomach. Little peptic things, and when you touch them, they hurt.
One
doctor said they come in between your rib cages in your back.
Right, and tell me about these ulcers. How big are they?
Well, they're only tiny little things.
Yeah.
And you can feel them when you lean back. Back in your chair or anything, you can feel them pricking you in the back.
Are they very painful, Jeff?
They can be.
Right.
They can be.
Do they get infected at all, these ulcers?
No. You can't see them. They're inside-like.
Right, now you can. You can with the conditions that you've got. There, Jeff, that I'm not sure 100% which ones they are, but you can get ulcers that can come in. Now, ulcers can be caused by infection, vasculitis, which is what I'm thinking these ulcers may come from, bites and things like that as well, or insufficiency of the blood supply, and therefore the skin starts breaking down. So when we were talking, Will, about diabetes and the nail growing, if you don't get enough blood supply to your skin or sometimes to your areas, then obviously the skin breaks down because it doesn't have the nutrients and it can develop ulcers. And so diabetic ulcers are very common. They tend to happen on the limbs. It's a bit unusual because Jeff's getting these on his back, okay? Sometimes it's pressure ulcers as well. Have you ever heard about people lying in a position too much?
Bed sores, is that?
Exactly right. right, and you need to turn people on a regular basis. Now, Jeff, with all those conditions, I will also presume, is probably isn't the most mobile. And that's, no, obviously, you know, with a chronic lung problem and diabetes and all these other things, that's probably going to happen. I've got a feeling that these are sort of vascular ulcers that are appearing due to his conditions, just the way he's mentioned it. And you can get treatment for them, Jeff, OK? So don't suffer in silence. You can actually get some creams that you can put on there that can help. Also, he's got to be really careful they don't get infected, because it's a very hot, sweaty, moist area on your chest. You don't tend to run around in this country with our chests exposed, bare-chested, running about. So you need to make sure that you do take care of them, that you clean them on a regular basis, that someone is looking after them so they don't develop into much larger ulcers, which can be quite nasty. Sometimes a little bit of steroid cream helps, Jeff, bring them down and keeps them under control. And that might be an idea now, asking for a little bit of steroid cream for those ulcers.
Presumably, Jeff would ask his doctor for the steroid cream.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's not something you can get over the counter.
Yeah, and if Jeff's worried that doctors don't believe it, the best thing he can do is ask someone to take a picture of them when he gets them. Because sometimes the problem is, by the time you get in to see your doctor or you find an appointment, the rash or the skin condition has gone down. So we don't often get a very good picture of what it really is. And that's very common, especially with ulcers that maybe come up, flare up and flare down. The best thing is, when they do come up, nowadays you can get them on your mobile phone, can't you? You can take a picture. So, you know, grab someone who's got a camera or camera phone, just take a quick picture of it and you'll have an understanding of what's going on.
Speaking of phones, you better switch yours off while I read out the next one. Thanks to you, Jeff, for that question. That was Jeff in Mould, and I hope you can get that sorted out, Jeff, because it does not sound pleasant. Jeff rang us on 708 1059, and you can too. That's 0151 708 1059. Got less than 10 minutes left, and of course, during that section, we also have to fit in the eagerly awaited fantastic medical fact from Dr. G, which better be a good one, because you're going away for 3 weeks, so we need something juicy to keep us going until you return looking tanned and relaxed in July. You can text Dr. G a question on 61025, start it, please, the word talk, and you can email it to surgery@citytalk.fm. You've had a couple of very nice texts in, by the way. You don't need to say thank you via text, especially because it costs you 25p, but being as you have done so, I'll read them out. Dave in Rockferry, who you'll remember, was asking about problems with his nails. He said they were sort of split or non-existent on his hands and feet, partly, you think, as a result of his suffering from diabetes. And he says, thanks very much for your advice about my diabetes problem. I do get my feet every 4 months.
Brilliant.
There you go, already in touch. And I will do as you say. Once again, thanks. That's Dave in Rockferry. Oh, thanks to you, Dave.
Thanks very much, Dave.
And also, our pregnant texter, who is 10 weeks pregnant and worried about what medicine she can take to deal with her hay fever, says, thank you to Dr. G for the advice. I went to my GP this morning and he was useless. Said I could possibly take eye drops, but nothing else. I've also tried 4 pharmacists. They all said I couldn't take anything. They didn't even check the BNF.
This is the BNF right here in front of you. That's the one I just referred to there to have a look at it. Now, the thing is, sometimes when you see a pharmacist, you're not actually seeing a pharmacist. You're just seeing the person at the front. It's worth going actually saying, can I have a talk to the pharmacist? It sounds silly, but you go into Boots, and often you're just dealing with people who are technicians. Now, it doesn't get me wrong. They often, if it's a very experienced technician, have a lot of information. But it's always worth asking, say, can I speak to the pharmacist because I want to know what I can take? And so when you do go into these areas, make sure you are speaking to the pharmacist, because they all tend to wear white coats and they all tend to have badges on, but it doesn't necessarily mean they're qualified to answer the question. And it is difficult. Hay fever is a difficult one, and a lot of doctors are very wary about prescribing anything. But at the end of the day, you're pregnant, you're going to be feeling sick, you're going to be feeling, especially at that time of year, you know, a lot of time of your gestation, as it were, you're going to feel a lot of changes in your morning sickness. The last thing you want on top of that is severe hay fever, isn't it? So, problem, the occasional use of the nasal drops. It's if you get to the point where you're using them every day, then I think people would have to worry, you know, what are you doing? But yes, there are treatments out there that have been approved, and reading the BNF now, it tells you that you can use those things, so that's fine.
Absolutely. So thank you for your thanks to our anonymous pregnant lady, a texter. And let's have one that has got a name on it, and the name is Sylvia, and it's coming to 61025, started with the word talk. And she asks, is it okay to take ibuprofen, I think she might mean ibuprofen, if you have moderate heart failure?
A difficult one. There was obviously a lot of controversy out in the papers about taking something called NSAIDs, which is non-steroidal anti-inflammatory tablets, especially with heart fever. I'm afraid it's probably best to avoid them. Okay, it's probably best to avoid them. They do have a cardiovascular risk, but there is an alternative, Sylvia. Okay, Naproxen, which is also an NSAID, doesn't seem to have the same risk of heart failure and gastrointestinal side effects, but it is in the same category of tablet. So I'm afraid it's not the best one to take. That whole category probably isn't the best one to take, but if you had to, then naproxen would be the one that you'd probably be opted for. But I would say it's best to avoid the whole lot of that generation of tablets together and try something like the cocodamols, try something like the COX-2 inhibitors, something different altogether.
Okay, and again, I would say that's one of the ones where you would also suggest Sylvia gets an opinion from
absolutely.
Her own doctor.
Absolutely, Sylvia, because there may be other reasons you can't take those medications, like contraindications with other tablets that you're on for your heart failure. So, you know, always go down and get that checked with your doctor, have a chat with them and say, is there any alternatives? A lot of times when people hear the words, you can't have these tablets, they don't ask the question, well, what can I have then? What's the alternative? Go and get your GP to go and do a bit of work and find out what's the alternatives that you can have. Because simply by saying, oh, well, there's nothing for you then, and you go home and suffering in silence, isn't good enough.
Absolutely. Good advice. Good luck with sorting that out, Sylvia. Now, before we go any further, I can't go a minute longer without finding out what this week's fantastic fact is.
Right. Did you know blue eyes are weaker than brown?
That's rubbish.
Why do you think that's rubbish?
Because I've got blue eyes.
I know, and I've got brown. Right. Here's the fact. Eye colour is determined by the presence of the pigment melanin, which also protects the macular part of the eye, and it's responsible for detail of vision. Okay. It traps light rays and prevents damage. The darker the eyes, the more melanin in the iris. So that means that paler eyes are more sensitive to sunlight. Mm. Okay. People with light-coloured eyes are more vulnerable to macular damage, such as cataracts or loss of vision. A study in Southampton University showed that people with dark colour eyes are also less likely to go deaf, less likely to get meningitis, which suggests more of the pigmentation is better to protect the inner eye.
That's incredible. Ooh. So your brown eyes are stronger than my blue
eyes?
Yeah,
but then also, you know, people in darker countries, as it were, people in sort of much stronger sunlight will have much darker eyes, as well as their skin colour goes darker. So it makes sense as well from a genetic point of view.
So just as tanned skin is better able to cope with sunlight.
Yeah,
but then brown, or if you like, tanned eyes are better able to.
But then look at red hair and blue eyes, and you'll see why. Because they need to be more open to the sunlight, because there's probably less sunlight, so their eyes need to be more sensitive to sunlight to get in that vision. So it makes a lot more sense.
Well, that's because most people with red hair and blue eyes are probably from Ireland originally, where it's sunny for about four days per year.
But then blonde and blue eyes as well from Scandinavian countries where the sunlight is maybe harsher. And we know that red hair and blonde hair also process more vitamin D. Their skin tone tends to process more vitamin D in less sunlight. So there's actually a genetic advantage for them to develop those characteristics.
Yeah, because isn't it the case that that's why... I can't remember what's that vitamin D problem that's suffered more by black children than
rickets.
Is it rickets?
It's a vitamin D deficiency.
Is it correct? Is that more of a problem then among
You're less likely to get colour. If you're red hair, because that will process more vitamin D.
There you go. Good news for all you flame-haired people out there. You're less likely to get rickets, which is a positive note to end
the
show on.
How did you change that from blue eyes to rickets?
I don't know. We go a strange path here on The City Surgery. Thank you for coming in, Dr. G.
Thank you very much. See you in 3 weeks.
See you in 3 weeks. If you want to find out who's in tomorrow, I'll tell you now, it's Ian Howarth from Parker Kelly Financial Services. We'll be catching up with Fantasy Finance and finding out how our budding stockbrokers have done. And also, we'll be getting our weekly visit on a Friday, not to be missed, from the 50 quid fairy. So if you enjoy a 50 quid fairy on a Friday, tune in tomorrow between 12 and 1. And indeed, stay tuned now, because coming up after the news at 1 is Dean Sullivan, followed by, live from Calderstones Park at the tennis, Paul Jacobs. You're listening to City Talk.
Blockbuster exclusives and movies you won't find anywhere else, like The Bank Job.
We're not bank robbers.
Maybe that's why we could get away with it.
Based on a true story, Jason Statham and his crooked mates get more than they bargained for when they pull off the heist of a lifetime.
I'm in position, Terry.
No name's Eddie.
Sorry, Dave.
Rent The Bank Job now, exclusively at Blockbuster. Certificate 15.
Under the Data Protection Act, your company could be at risk if you don't dispose of personal information securely. If your business deals with confidential information, you need Planet Recycling. As one of the Northwest's largest data destruction providers, Planet are fully licensed to shred and dispose of data securely and cost-effectively. Is your company protected? For a free survey, call 0151 922 6668 or click planetrecycling.co.uk. Each day, City Talk and Riverford Organic Vegetables will be bringing you our guide to eating organically. Today, we're looking at organic farming.
Do you know where your food comes from? Chances are it was grown in hothouses, raised on a diet of chemicals, and flown across the world. Organic farming works with nature, growing vegetables on UK farms, using traditional methods and avoiding chemicals and pesticides.
For more info, and to find out how you can have seasonal, organic vegetables delivered to your door, log on to citytalk.fm/Riverford. Eat organically with Riverford and CityTalk 105.9.
Across Merseyside. On